Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew 14, especially these words. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you hear it in the readings? Failure. Everywhere. John, Jesus' cousin, had been put in prison and killed. Failure. The disciples, they want to send the people away. Go send them away to buy their own food, Jesus. Stop this teaching stuff. Failure. You give them something to eat, Jesus says. The disciples have nothing to give. Failure. Comes up in our epistle reading, too. You can hear it in Paul's words, can't you? He spent 8 chapters talking theology with the church at Rome. Sin, grace, and forgiveness, baptism, and sanctification. And now, Paul comes back to failure. He'd spoken to Jews through his missionary journeys, and they had rejected his words. He had spoken, pleaded, encouraged, begged, and they'd walked away. The Jews, they had the Old Testament. They knew all of those Old Testament scriptures that had common ground with Paul. Couldn't they see the promises of Christ fulfilled in the person of Jesus? As Paul preached, the answer was evident. No. Failure. If only Paul was accursed and they believed. He wishes it. He desires it. If only he could make them believe. Only he could give them that faith and trust that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God, who died for their sins. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belonged it all. And they were giving it all up. Failure. So what? Isn't that the question we always ask with the readings? So what? It happened a long time ago. Has no bearing on my life at all, does it? Or is God trying to tell you something with every book, with every chapter, with every word of Scripture? Not just written for people then and there, but it's written for you. God's word is living and active to teach you and to make you a disciple, that you would learn. That you would learn what? In these readings, that you would learn where to go when failure comes. Where would Paul go? Where would Jesus go? Where would the disciples go amid these failures? The disciples, well, they go to Jesus, and they beg Jesus to send the people away. And then when Jesus says, you give them something to eat, well, they've got nothing else to say. For Paul, the answer is clear. Amid his frustration of the failure of his preaching to the Jews, he goes back to God's word, to that which he was talking about for 8 chapters right before this, to encourage more that they would believe, to continue talking to those Jews, speaking to them the word of God that some, by God's grace, might be turned from unbelief to trust their Savior. But when failure comes, what does Jesus do? Maybe that's the best place to go in these readings. When John is in prison and is killed, where does Jesus go? To a desolate place. For what? To pray. So often Jesus does that. When there's failure or tragedy or difficulty, he goes back to prayer. But then the people come. They come from all over, and they just want Jesus, heal this person. Heal my mom, my dad, my relative, my son, my daughter. Jesus, if I could just have a moment of your time. Jesus. And he's there all day healing and teaching and having compassion on them. And he feeds them. They would learn, like we would, where to go amid our failure. Where? You know where. We go back to God's Word amid our failures. That's where we go to find forgiveness there in His Word, amid things that we have caused or things we have not caused. Go back to God's Word and cling there in faith, relying on Him and trusting Him. We go back to Jesus, to the one who teaches us as He taught those crowds, to the one who feeds us as He fed those crowds. Isn't that what the people of Israel were supposed to learn through the Exodus? To rely upon God, as God got them out of Egypt with that mighty outstretched arm, working the plagues on the Egyptian deities and crushing them to dust, as God parted the sea and brought His people back to the promised land, as they were fed with manna and quail and water from rocks, were they not supposed to learn to trust God amid their failures and successes? So trust Him. Yes, you live in a sinful world, and sinful things will happen to you, things you've caused and things beyond your control. You might feel like a failure at times. The devil might be on your back, seeking to devour you or sift you out like sand. But the Lord, He's prayed for you. He has compassion on you. Isn't that a wonderful word? His compassion on you. He loves you so much that He would leave you a witness of His love in Scripture, that He would teach you as He taught the Israelites, as He taught His disciples and those crowds, that He would teach you to rely on Him more and more, and that He would feed you with the very bread of life, His very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, that you would not doubt, but know firmly and confidently of His love for you outpoured, that you would not walk away from His mercy and grace, but amid tragedy and failure, amid success and joy, amid every point of life, that you would be drawn ever closer to Him who has compassion upon you. Jesus has compassion on you. He has given Himself into death for the forgiveness of your sins. It's yours. Amid our failures, the victory has been won. Jesus has conquered our sin. He has destroyed death. For you there is life, and life more abundantly. As we suffer, we turn back again to God's Word and prayer. But you know the truth. Your sinful nature, the world around you, and the devil despises you for turning there. They will bring all manner of evil into your life. So Christian, turn again to God's word and prayer. Come here, be forgiven, receive his body and blood. For in Jesus, even the failures of life can be used to strengthen our faith. In the name of Jesus, amen.